It's good to be with you once again and to join with you around the precious word of the Lord. Before we come to that, let's just take a moment to seek the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we come humbly before thee, and we draw nigh in our Saviour's blessed name, the name that's above every other name, the name of the one who died in our place, the one who took our place, the one who shed his own precious life's blood, that we might be redeemed and redeemed from the slave market of our sin. We thank thee and we praise thee that we can now gather around thy word, and we ask that as we do so, thou wilt be pleased to draw nigh unto us, grant us the help and the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, so that we will have a right understanding of the word of our God. We ask in Jesus' name and for our Saviour's sake. Amen. Our scripture reading is in the Old Testament scriptures in the book of Psalms, Psalm number 46, the 46th Psalm. Let's hear the word of the Lord. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Ending there at the last verse of the psalm, and we know that the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for Christ's sake. Amen. The book of Psalms, 150 of them, all give expression to heart feelings experienced in the many and varied circumstances in life. Some of those circumstances we can identify with as we read the psalm. Sometimes there are those words contained in a particular psalm, and it's very clear that that is the thrust and the theme of the entire psalm. Then there are other psalms, and as we read them, we find that there is reference to some historical event in the past, and we can tie in with that event, maybe even read it in the appropriate place in the Word of God, and get some understanding of how and why the words in that particular psalm are expressed and written the way that they are. This 46th psalm that we have just been reading together provides us not with a specific historical setting. Now, I know that when you read some commentators, they have sometimes suggestions to make as to the particular circumstances that may have prevailed at the time that the psalm was penned. But there is at least some degree of uncertainty about that. But there is absolute certainty when we come to read the psalm that the psalmist was facing difficult times. We have that right in the opening verse of the psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Such was the trouble, or as the word trouble here is really a plural. It's a plural in the original, and we might even read it then. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in troubles. The psalmist, as he's facing this particular time of trial and trouble, whatever it may have been, nevertheless, we find that his focus is very clearly upon the Lord himself. He goes on to say in verse 2, Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Why has he drawn that conclusion? Because of what he affirmed in the opening verse. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So it's clear the disposition of the heart of the psalmist. We can see that he's thinking very much upon his God. Part of the title of the psalm points this out to us, because it reads, a song upon Alamoth. And we have that word, song. This really was a psalm that was to be sung. Not only was it to be read, spoken forth, but it was also to be sung. And therefore, why, you might ask, would there be any singing at all if the psalmist is going through a very troublous time? Well, I suggest this to you, that this really is a song of faith's confidence in the Lord in very troublesome times. And that's the theme of the psalm. And that's the theme that I want to consider with you for just a little time this evening. Faith's confidence in the Lord in troublous times. And as we turn to look at the psalm here with this theme before us, the first thing I draw your attention to is an unchanging reality. And it's this unchanging reality that the eye of faith saw. And therefore, there is this song of faith's confidence in this unchanging reality. And what is the unchanging reality? Or we might express it and ask it this way, who is the unchanging reality? And it's very clear from the very first word in verse 1, God. God is our refuge and strength. And as it's the first word here in our English translation in the Authorized Version, when you go and look at it in the original Hebrew, you find that it's also the first word. The first word that you meet with is the word God. In fact, the Hebrew word here is Elohim. And that's interesting, because when we go back into the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, we have those very familiar words, in the beginning God created, or in the beginning Elohim created. And here we have the God of creation. And it's the God of creation that the psalmist is thinking very much upon. He's speaking of the one who is strong. He's speaking of the one who is mighty. After all, he is the creator God. He's the one whose word went forth and this world was brought into existence. You remember how the Apostle Paul expressed it when he was writing to the Hebrew Christians? In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, we read, through faith. And after all, the psalm and the theme that we're thinking of here is faith's song of confidence in the Lord. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So when we read this word here, or this name, God, God is our refuge and strength, we are thinking about the Creator God. But also, aren't we thinking too about the Covenant God? Because as we go further down the psalm, we find, for example, in verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob. Note those words, the God of Jacob is our refuge. It's almost like a refrain, because it's repeated in the last verse of the psalm, verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Notice how it's expressed, the God of Jacob. The very one to whom the covenant promise that was given to Abraham was renewed. It was renewed with Jacob. And what was that covenant promise? That covenant promise was the promise of the Messiah who would come, and he would be our Saviour. And to add to that, as we're speaking of him as the covenant God, his covenant name is used three times in this very psalm. And what's the covenant name of our God? It is Jehovah. You'll notice in verse 7, we've already read the verse, the Lord of hosts. And there we have Lord in capitals, and you'll know in the authorized version that's to indicate that it is the name Jehovah. And the name Jehovah is the covenant name of God. The Lord of hosts is with us. It's again there in verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Come, behold the works of Jehovah. And then the last verse, verse 11, we have it once more. The Lord of hosts, Jehovah of hosts, is with us. The covenant name of God. That name that we find over in the book of Exodus, when God revealed himself as the I am, that I am, the great I am, the one who is absolute, the one who is immutable, the one who's self-sufficient, he who is independent, he depends on no one for his existence or what he does. And as the I am, that means he's the ever-present one. So we have the thought here of the God of creation and also the God of the covenant. And it's faith's eye that sees the unchanging reality of the covenant God of his people. Faith sees him as the unchanging and the unchangeable one. And this meant so much to the psalmist in the trial and the troubles that he was in and that he was going through at this particular time as these words were penned. The eye of faith, he's beholding the one who is his covenant God, the one who isn't going to change, the one who can't change, because he has said himself, I am the Lord, I change not. He's unchanging in his person, in his very being. He's ever the same from eternity to eternity. His power is unchanging, and his purpose is unchanging. That great eternal purpose that God has is one that will never change. He never has to alter it. Sometimes when men are planning things, they have plan A, and then they say, well, if that doesn't work out the way we hope that it will and the way we think it will, maybe we should just try and sketch out a plan B to have it in reserve, and we can always switch to it if plan A fails. But God doesn't need any plan B, because his plan is from eternity. His purpose is from eternity, and it's an unchanging and an unchangeable one. And here we have, right at the beginning of this psalm, God, the Creator God, the God of the covenant. And faith beholds him as the unchanging one of covenant faithfulness. That means that he's the same, whatever the time, whatever the place, whatever the circumstances might be, God is unchanging. And the unchanging one was very real to the psalmist. He says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So here we're thinking of the song of faith's confidence in the Lord in troublesome times, and faith's eye beholds the unchanging one, the I am that I am. But then secondly, moving from the unchanging reality here, let's come for a moment or two and think about an unforgettable relationship. An unforgettable relationship. Because there's a very particular relationship expressed in this psalm. A relationship that God has with his own blood-bought people. It's a relationship that is most needed in a troublesome time. It's a relationship that brings immense comfort when we're going through hard times and through difficult times. And that's what the psalmist was going through. But you'll notice again in verse 1, he speaks of God as being one who's a very present help. That word help, underline it at least in your mind, if not in your Bible. This one, this Creator God, who is the Psalmist's God, this Covenant God, who is his God, is the God who is a helper. He is the one who helps his people, and he comes nigh in times of great difficulty, and they can sense and know the Lord's presence. This is the relationship that we need to realize as the people of God when times are hard and difficult. And such times, like troublesome times, necessitate just this very kind of relationship. There's an unforgettable relationship, and I hope before we finish this point that you'll understand why I've chosen those words, that there's an unforgettable relationship. It's this relationship that the Lord has. He is the helper of his people. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We see this over and over again in the Word of God. Think, for example, of the words in Psalm 60 and verse 12. Give us help. This is the cry of the psalmist in that psalm. Give us help from trouble. For vain is the help of man. Oh, what a contrast between the help of God and the help of man. And there the psalmist is crying out for the Lord to come and help him in Psalm 60. Give us help from trouble. Then we could think of the words in Psalm 77 and verse 2. In the day of my trouble. That's what the psalmist said in that psalm. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. Why was he seeking the Lord in the day of his trouble? Because he knew the Lord would help him. For the Lord is the helper of his people. He was conscious of this relationship with the Lord as a child of God. What then of the words in the prophecy of Jeremiah? Jeremiah 16 and verse 19. O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction. What help that would be in the day of affliction, to have the Lord as your strength and your fortress and your refuge. Or even the words that we find in the little prophecy of Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 7, where the prophet said, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And isn't that the help that you would need in a day of trouble? You would need a stronghold. And Nahum is saying, the Lord is good. He is a stronghold in the day of trouble. So as we think about this unforgettable relationship, notice in the psalm that we're considering here, Psalm 46, that there are two aspects to this help. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You notice the two aspects there in verse 1 of the psalm. We have the first one mentioned, and it's refuge. Now, what is a refuge? Isn't a refuge a place of protection? A protection from an enemy? A protection maybe from a pursuing enemy? And the Lord is that for his people. Whatever that enemy might be, he is our refuge. Consider the words of Psalm 62. Let me read them to you, verses 7 and 8 of Psalm 62. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. And then the exhortation follows immediately in the next verse, verse 8. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. Why should we do that? Why do we need to do that as the people of God? Trust in him, notice, at all times, even in the troublesome times, even in the difficult times, even in the good times, as we would describe them as well. We are to trust in the Lord. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is our refuge. God is our refuge for us. Therefore, trust him. Pour out your heart before him. Come and seek his face in prayer. Think of that verse in Psalm 91, the second verse. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. This is an aspect of his help. We can have a refuge, a place of protection in him. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Or then when we think of the evangelical prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 25 and verse 4, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm. Is that not a reference to danger, either present or imminent, a refuge from the storm? Don't forget the words of the psalmist in Psalm 9 and verse 9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed. A refuge. And the word there, refuge, means a high place. A refuge, a high place in times of trouble. So this is one aspect of the help that the Lord is to his people. He is our helper. He is our refuge. We have protection in him and by him. So that's one aspect of the help here. But then another aspect of it that's mentioned is, again in verse 1, God is our refuge and he is our strength. And the word strength there is giving us the sense and giving us the meaning of being given ability. And the Lord helps his people by giving them ability, by giving you ability, by giving me ability to do things for him. Is that not what the Apostle Paul was referring to when he was writing to the Philippians in Philippians 4 and verse 13? You remember he said, I can do, there's ability. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. He realized he could only do them in the Lord's strength. He couldn't do them without the Lord's help, without the Lord giving him strength to do them. So there's the thought of being given ability to do what the Lord would have us do and do those things that are well-pleasing in his sight and do them as unto him. And there's also the thought contained in the word strength here of being given strength to bear up. And don't we sometimes need that? We need to be given strength to bear up if we're going through times of particular difficulty and hardship. And we're wondering, well, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to cope with this? How am I going to continue to face this and live in the midst of this? Well, here is the answer. The Lord is your strength. He's going to give you, he's going to help you. And he's going to help you by giving you the strength to bear up until the storm passes over, whatever the storm might be at any given time. So here we can see that this is a blessed help. What a relationship to have with the Lord. But again, verse 1 says he's a very present help. Those words, a present help, the sense and the meaning of them is simply that he has been proven to be just such in the past. He has been proven to be a help. He's well proved. He has given the necessary help before. And can you not testify to that? Can you not think back down the pathway of life to times that were difficult and hard for you? And the Lord did help you. And therefore, you have proved him. And now if you're facing a particularly difficult time, and in a sense, all of us are facing a very difficult time with this virus at the moment, in the land and throughout the nation. But we have proved the Lord before. And therefore, we can come and remember this relationship that he is the one who is to his people in the relationship of providing a refuge and of giving strength to them. My mind was turned as I thought upon this to 1 Samuel. And perhaps you're thinking maybe already of the passage of scripture, of the verse that I'm going to just quote to you in a moment. 1 Samuel chapter 7, and it's It's the verse 12. Let me read it. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped me. So here is Samuel, and he's setting up this stone, and he's giving it a name. It's a monument, and the name is Ebenezer, and that means the stone of help. And therefore we have those words at the very end of that 12th verse, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Now what's the context of that particular verse? Well, if we had time to read some of the previous verses in earlier chapters in 1 Samuel, we would find that Israel was in a very, very low state. Over in chapter 4, they had known a great slaughter by the Philistines. Some 30,000 footmen were slain. And then when you come in and read in chapter 6, the sword of the Lord slew many after the ark had been brought to Beth Shemesh. And there were those who had looked into the ark, which they shouldn't have done. And there was a great slaying of thousands upon thousands of people. And after that, the ark of the Lord then was taken to Kirjath-Jearim. And in 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 2 we read, And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. It had taken Israel a long time to get to this point, where they were looking to the Lord and seeking the Lord, because they had departed so far from the Lord. They had turned away from the Lord. And that being so, we find that Samuel gives an exhortation. We read of it from verse 3 down to verse 5 of this 7th chapter. And just for the sake of time, I'll not read all the verses, but try to summarize them for you. He was exhorting them to return to the Lord, and to do so with all their hearts. He was exhorting them to prepare their hearts before the Lord and to begin to serve him only. And he said, if you do that, the Lord will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel, in verse 4, did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. And Samuel then said to them, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And as the people then were gathered at Mizpah, that alarmed the lords of the Philistines. I suppose they thought there was a rebellion on hand. And we find that they then gathered their forces, their army, and they then came to do battle. And so we read then in verses 10 and 11, as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah. Now here's the Lord as their help. The men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Beth-Kar. That's the house of the Lamb, Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, the stone of help, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So you can see how that the Lord helped them on that occasion. And that's why I said that this relationship here is an unforgettable relationship, because there was the monument that was erected, the stone of help, Ebenezer. Samuel erected it because he would want them always to remember and never forget how that the Lord came and the Lord proved himself to be their helper according to his word and according to his promise. And here in Psalm 46 verse 1, the psalmist is not forgetting this relationship. It's an unforgettable relationship. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Yes, we have thought in faith's song of confidence in the Lord in troublesome times of the unchanging reality, of the unforgettable relationship. But then thirdly and finally, can I draw your attention to the undoubted result? Let's read verses 2 and 3 of Psalm 46. Therefore, and that immediately connects with the previous verse, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. Note those words. We'll not fear. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Remember faith's affirmation in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. What an affirmation. Only faith can make an affirmation like that. That's faith's affirmation in the unchanging reality who is the Lord himself. But then from that affirmation, there was an appropriation, faith's appropriation in the unforgettable relationship, because he is our refuge and strength. The two aspects of the Lord as our help in troublous times. And from faith's affirmation to faith's appropriation to faith's assurance, the undoubted result, therefore will not we fear. Here is the fearlessness of the God-fearing man. Here was the fearlessness of the God-fearing psalmist. Because he is our refuge and strength, because he is a present help in troublous times, even if troubles are multiplied, therefore will not we fear. He's saying we're not going to be overcome by fear. That kind of the fear that would cripple our walk with God. And sometimes if we allow fear to really grip our hearts, we do find that our walk with the Lord is crippled in so many ways. And as we sometimes say, well, we would be jumping even at a shadow if we saw a shadow, because we're so fearful. Maybe we could get to such a state where we would almost describe ourselves nearly as a bundle of nerves. Maybe you've heard that expression. Because fear has overcome us. Fear has overtaken us. And we have been almost paralyzed, even in our thinking, even in what we do and what we say, by that very fear. But here's the psalmist. And he says, because God is our refuge and strength and our present help, therefore will not we fear. And then he speaks about three things, and you'll notice that they're all related to the physical earth. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters, the seas thereof roar and be troubled. What could be more stable as far as man is concerned in the physical realm, just in the physical realm? What could be more stable than the mountains when we look at those great mountain peaks and the great mountain ranges? We might think of the Rockies, or we might think of the Himalayas, and we would say, oh, there'll nothing ever move those mountains. But the psalmist is saying, look, even if the very mountains were to be removed, even if they were to be cast into the sea, he's saying, because God is my refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble, I will not fear. What could be more permanent as far as we're concerned, physically and humanly speaking, than the mountains? But even if they're shaken, even if they're trembling, even if they're moved, God is of greater reality. That's what the psalmist is really saying. God is so real to me. And should not God be real to his people? Should we not be sensing the Lord's goodness and mercy and grace and power and blessing more than anything else? So therefore, if that's so, none of these other things that might happen, great and terrible as they may be and would be, but we're not going to fear. Because no matter what changes come about around us, and we change, and things change, And circumstances change, of course they do. But the Lord changes not. And he's the one who is a present help in times of trouble. He's the one who is our refuge and our strength. Therefore, he says, will not we fear? Because these things that change on earth, they don't change the Lord. And what's more, they don't change his relationship with his people. So when times are hard and difficult and testing, the Lord is still a refuge. He hasn't changed. The Lord is still our strength. He hasn't changed. He is still a present help. Therefore, we should pour out our heart to him. Therefore, we should trust him. And isn't that what the psalmist said? And with this text, I close Psalm 2 and verse 12. The psalmist said, blessed are all they that trust in him. And what's the significance of quoting that verse? Simply this, that the word trust there is really the word for refuge. Blessed are all they that trust in him. To express it another way, blessed are all they that find him a place of refuge. And don't we find the Lord a place of refuge? Because he is our refuge and he is our strength. Therefore, we're truly blessed whenever we trust in him. And I trust that you will continue to trust in the Lord, even in the midst of the times that we're facing at the moment, believing his word, believing his promise, having the song of faith, faith's confidence in the Lord, the song of faith's confidence in the Lord in the midst of troublesome times. May the Lord be pleased to bless his word to all our hearts for Christ's sake. We're going to seek the Lord in prayer in just a moment. May I say that do feel free to make contact with me if you feel that you do need any spiritual help or counsel in these days. I'd only be too glad to do what I can to help you from the Word of God. And let's pray the one for the other, that the Lord will keep his hand upon us and that we will prove the Lord at this time that he is indeed our refuge and he is our strength and he is our present help in a time of trouble. And I hope that his word has been a help to you. His word has been an encouragement to your soul. And when we face days ahead and none of us know what those days might bring, nevertheless, let's keep our trust firmly in the Lord. Look up. We know that our redemption draweth nigh. Well, let's bow and seek the Lord in prayer. Our eternal God and Father in heaven, we come before thee once again. In the precious name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, we thank thee that thou art the one who changeth not, thou art the unchanging one, and thou art our God. We thank thee for thy word, and we thank thee for the blessing of thy word as we read it and as we meditate upon it. And we cry to thee that thou wilt take thy truth, that's truth that we have been thinking upon and write it upon the fleshy tables of all our hearts as thy people. For, O God, we confess that our times when fear would come in upon us and many doubts would arise in our hearts. But we cry to thee that we'll know what it is to turn to thee and pour out our hearts before thee. We'll know what it is to come to thy word and remind ourselves of these promises that thou hast given to us. We thank thee that faith is able to say that thou and thou alone art our refuge and our strength. It's only faith that can say that thou art a present help in time of trouble. The worldling would not understand at all, but we thank thee in the midst of trials. We can look to thee, we can trust in thee, we can rest upon thee, knowing that thy word is true, knowing that what thou hast promised thou wilt most certainly fulfill. And, O God, we ask that in these times that are difficult for us at the moment, even here in our own province, we cannot meet in thy house. Thou knowest the restrictions that are placed upon us, necessarily so. And we ask, O God, that thou wilt help us, even in these times, to still press on with thee, to still continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We ask that these will be times of blessing in our own souls, whenever we'll be drawn closer to Thee, when we'll know more of the real presence of the Lord in our lives, and we'll know what it is to feast upon the One spiritually, who is the living bread. Again, we commit the work and the testimony in Londonderry to Thee, and we pray for all of Thy people. We ask that Thine own dear children will, in these times of difficulty, know much of Thy presence, that Thou wilt be with them each one, that Thou wilt help them, that Thy grace will come and abound towards them, and that they'll be able to bear testimony that Thy grace was sufficient for them. We commit them to Thee. We ask for any who may be laid aside unwell, that Thou wilt draw nigh to them, that they might know Thy touch, the touch of the great Physician Himself. And, O God, we remember many who are in hospital at this time, suffering greatly because of this virus. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst be pleased to draw nigh to them. And we think of those who are tending to them, all of the nursing staff, the doctors as well, and those who are in care homes looking after the elderly. We pray that Thou wilt draw nigh to them, that they would know Thy hand upon them. And, O grant, Lord, that as the result of all of this, that there would be many, many hearts that would turn towards Thee as Israel did. And we were thinking of it over there in 1 Samuel chapter 7, how that they did eventually turn to Thee and look to Thee and come and pour out their hearts before Thee. We ask, O God, that even in the midst of all of these trials, that it might be the means of bringing many to Thyself, and grant that Thy people would be stirred up in their own souls. There might be a quickening, there might be a reviving again, even in the midst of the years. We remember our missionaries, and we pray for them. We ask, O God, that Thou wilt protect them, and that Thou wilt bless all of their work, and bless all of their labours in the gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We ask, Heavenly Father, for Thy servant who will come on the Lord's day, though he will not be physically present in a pulpit. We ask that Thou wilt bless the word that he will bring to those who will view and those who will listen in. We cry to Thee that that word will prove to be a blessing to all. And Lord, we think of those who are still unsaved, those who are out of Christ, those who are in that place of terrible danger. If they were to be removed from this scene of time, they would die without the Saviour. Then they would be lost and lost forever. O God, we pray that the urgency of this would be upon our own hearts, that we would seek to reach them with the message of Christ and Him crucified. And we ask, O God, for help and for grace to reach out to those who are yet without the Saviour and to tell them of the One who is mighty and who is willing to save. So we bring all our needs before Thee, and we ask that Thou wilt keep us each one in Thy fear, ever looking unto Thee, the author and the finisher of our faith. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for our Saviour's sake. Amen.